All right, so kind of a little intro, because this is why I'm up here. Really what I'm planning on sharing is something that God's just been dealing with my heart the past 3 years. So like I was talking to Ted one day, and then I was in the work truck, and he sends me this text like, hey, why don't you think about maybe preaching sometime? I'm like, nah, that's not a good idea. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to pray about it. And then if God says, or if God gives me something to preach, then I'll go ahead and at least put something together and give it to, you know, Kirk and Ted and all of them to see if that's something they'd want me to share. So I prayed about it, and you know what happens when you ask God? He answers your prayer. So he actually gave me something one night on my way home from the Orns, and I'm like, oh, I should probably write this down. So I wrote it down, and I kind of fixed it up a little bit and sent it off to Ted, and he's all like, all right, when are you sharing this? I'm like, oh, I don't know. He's like, give it to Kirk. So I gave it to Kirk, and I kind of forgot about it after a while. And, you know, I'm working at camp now, and I'm in the middle of the craziness at camp, and all of a sudden I get this email from Kirk saying, hey, how's the 24th sound? And I'm like, I have 20 different reasons why I should say no. But I'm going to say yes, because that's kind of what this topic's all about. So I'm like, all right, we're going to do it. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to say yes. We're not going to let panic or fear or anything get in the way. So here I am. So let's put up that first slide here. So we all should probably understand and know this picture. It's been up, what, like a year and a half, 2 years now. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, in my heart, I am like completely split on this picture. I love the picture, you know, by the way. It's really cool. I like the red and the white and the black. It's just kind of neat. But the message behind it is what my heart's conflicted about. Half of me really loves it. Half of me is like, yeah, yeah, let's get out of our comfort zones. And the other half of me is like, nope, 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 stay. I'm one of those kind of people, and I'm sure some of you agree or can relate, that we like to stay comfortable. We like to be in our comfort zones. We like to, you know, it's Saturday morning. Oh, we're staying in bed. Oh, the sun's up. Oh, forget the sun. Pull the curtains. It's 3 more hours. That's all I ask. But we like to stay in our comfort zones. But the last 3 years, God's really been dealing in my heart with, you know, let's get out of our comfort. Let me pull you out of your comfort zone. And so my message today is going to be called, What's on the Table? And I have a funny little picture of Will Smith sitting. Yep. You know, I was looking up some pictures. I like pictures, you know, they speak words. And, you know, I just got Will Smith kind of sitting there like, he's negotiating. And that's what I mean by what's on the table. I'm not literally meaning, hey, what's for dinner? That would be a weird message. I don't know where I'd go with that. But what I'm really saying is, like, what's on the table? So, like, what was it, like 3-4 months ago? Kevin, I'm sure you kept up on this. My coworker at the hardware, he used to have the sports radio on all the time. And we just listened to all this stuff about the Browns, you know, number one pick and number four pick. And there's all this debate about, oh my goodness, are they going to trade the first and get like 3 second or, you know. And the GM of the team, you know, he would even be in those negotiations, and he'd ask the other GMs from different teams, you know, okay, I would be willing to trade my number one pick here, but what are you bringing to the table? What are you willing to offer me? You know, what are we gonna trade here? You know, and as we all know, they didn't trade it, and they kept their picks. And I'm not gonna get into the sports realm because, well, that's not why I'm here. But I kind of want to bring this to a spiritual aspect. You know, I want to ask you guys this question. What's on the table in your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is it that you're willing to put on that table and say, Lord, I give you this. You may tell me whatever you want me to do with this. You know, I give you this. Tell me whatever you want to do with it. I give you this. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I think in these kind of terms, I'm weird. But, like, you know, I think in my life, I go, oh, yeah, I've got a lot of things on the table. You know, I'll give my, you know, I'll go up here and I'll lead worship on every Sunday that I need to. Or, oh, yeah, I'll go out with the youth group and help them do crazy things outside and or help lead them or do overnighters and stay awake all night long, which is fun. Or I'll even, you know, go on trips, you know, down to Mississippi or, you know, go do, like, mission outreach things in the community and all that kind of stuff. But did I have everything on the table? And that's something that the Lord's really been pulling on my heart, you know, like, give me everything. And today I want to encourage you guys, you know, honestly, in my life, I've always had that heart, that desire to, you know, like I've read the scriptures and I've seen all those crazy, awesome things that God's done through all of his prophets and his apostles and evangelists and the crazy miracles and such like that. And when I was growing up and reading those things, I'm like, I want to be part of that. I want to be one of those kind of people. I want to go out there and I want to trust God no matter what. And if, you know, if he gives me something to do, I want to do it and see what God's going to do.
Sure. Right.
But then there's another part of me that says, I'll do that in all these areas except for a couple of these. Because, you know, I don't want to give those to you, Lord. I don't see myself being that kind of Christian, you know, like, I don't know. One of my really big things personally in my life is, and growing up, I literally would say these things. I'd be like, all right, Lord, I'll do anything you want, except dot, dot, dot. And my dot, dot, dot was missions. I'm like, I'll go anywhere you want except for out of the States. And there's that point, and if you want to go to that next slide, you know, I thought that was funny. I had to put it up there. There's a point where I had to realize, like, man, if I don't have everything on the table, I don't have anything on the table. Because, you know, like, I may have all these different things on the table, and God's like, yes, good, good, you're giving me this, you're giving me that. But, hey, what's that thing behind you? I really want to, and you're like, no, there ain't nothing back there. There ain't nothing back there. Focus on the things on the table, God. Those things, no. But for me, that no thing was going out of the country. That was, you know, I never wanted to leave home. I'm a homebody. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm cool in Alliance, Ohio. You know, this place is awesome. You know, I love that tree. I love that house. You know, I love this church. And I'm like, I never want to leave. And I realized within the last 3 years and all that was one thing I had never put on the table. And I'm talking to you guys in the sense of, like, you know, things that you realize that aren't on the table. And God, throughout the years, is going to show me other things that I don't have on the table. But right now, that was that one thing that he kind of laser beamed on, like, oh, hey. I'm like, no. No, we're not going there. And he's like, yeah, we are. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, we have interesting conversations, I must say. So I want to give you, like, four points on... Like, if you really want to see God move in your life, and you really want to put everything on the table, these are some things that I think would be practical for you. Because as Kirk was talking about last Sunday, and I was super excited last Sunday, because I knew what I was going to share this Sunday, and then Kirk, he's up there talking about, hey, you know, we're wanting to do some cool things with this church. We may want to, you know, maybe plant churches or start second services or do this or do that, small groups, Bible studies, reach the lost. And I'm like, well, man, we've got a full church of people here. And I know that God wants to take each of us out of our comfort zones. And I know that in each of our lives, there's things that aren't on the table. And if we were willing, and if we even looked in our hearts and asked that hard question, and remember, when you ask God a question, be prepared for him to answer it. But... what if he answers you and says, yeah, this is something that's in your life that's not on the table, and I'd really like to use you in this. And we could really do some cool things, you and me, together in this community or anywhere if you'd let me bring that out and use you in that. So here's some, here's four points that I thought were really good, and there's more, and, bullet points. All right, so number one is the first thing you need to be asking yourself is Jesus Lord of my life? Think about that a second. God's king. Jesus is king. Does he have the right to tell you to do something? Does he have the right to take your life and do whatever he wants with it? I mean, if you are a servant of the king, does he have that right? And if you sit there and you think to yourself and you ask yourself that hard question, like, is Jesus really Lord of my life? Am I letting him make the calls? Like part of that word that was given this morning, do we have the faith, to believe that God can do the things that he's calling us in? And do we believe that, the things that he's calling us to do, that he'll make the mountains move that we see in front of us? And those mountains to us are, anthills to him. So it's like, anyways. I want us to ask ourselves, is Jesus Lord of our lives? One person in particular in the scriptures that I really feel who understood that lordship really well was David. You like David. I do too. In 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13, it says, "Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and your hand, in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.'" Oh my goodness. I mean, David had his eyes fixed on the lordship of Jesus, or on God. And, if he had known Jesus at that time, it would have been Jesus, He had that understanding that God's Lord over all. He had that understanding that God can snap his fingers whenever he wanted to and change whatever he wants to. I love that about David. Another scripture that I believe this is a psalm that David wrote. Pretty sure, not 100%, but Psalms 115, 1 through 3. And in this portion of scripture is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven, and in the heavens. He does what he pleases." I love that. I love that idea that, God is in the heavens, and he's going to do whatever he wants, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. And that gives me comfort, because I'm a control freak. I like everything to be a certain way, and in my relationship with God, God's just kind of like, "You think it's going to go that way, but it's not." And I've come to really find comfort in that, because I've tried to do it my own way. I've tried to take control over my life in such a way, and it always, it's just a mess. And then God comes up and goes, "Here's a broom, here's the dustpan, let's clean this up, and then we're going to do it my way now." It's like, should I have done this your way the first time? Yeah. Okay. We learn, we live. We get back up, scrape off the dirt, fix up the broken bones, and keep following Jesus, right? But I love that. He is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. And he's allowed, and he can, as we are his servants, he can call us to do whatever he wants. That's part of that lordship, him being Lord of our lives. Another verse, Matthew 16, 24 through 28. "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. I love that verse because there's that sense of like, we're giving it all up. You know, we're denying ourselves. We're taking up our cross daily, and you must love this, you know, doing the motions, and we're following him, you know, and it talks about how if we want to gain our life, we're going to have to lose it. We're going to have to give it up. I mean, I think about Abraham, you know, the idea of that, you know, he had his son, and his son is the son of promise, and then what did God say? Take Isaac up to a mountain that I'll show you and sacrifice him to me. And he was pretty much, Abraham's life was wrapped around in his son. And he had to give up his life, his son, in order to gain it. And in our lives, God's going to call us to give up our lives. Maybe not literally, you know. God's not maybe going to literally call each and every single one of us to go out and be martyrs for Jesus, but maybe he will. But we have to be allowed, or we have to allow God to make that choice in our lives. Because if he is Lord of our life, then he has that right. He has that right. If we are servants, if we are slaves to righteousness, he has that right to tell us those things. Disclaimer though, God's a loving father. He's not going to just send you off to die and not love you. Think about the stoning of Stephen, you know. I always think about that where he's standing there and he's looking up and he can see the Son of God, you know, Jesus standing at the throne right next to the throne of the Father. He wasn't sitting, he was standing. He was watching. He was concerned with what was going on. So know that God is concerned with what's going on in your life. God loves you so much. Don't think that by giving your life completely to him, that you lose any kind of love, any kind of, you know, from God. He's going to love you. He's going to watch out for you. He's got good things in mind for you. Last verse is Philippians 2:10 through 11. For this point, there's more verses. Strap in. Philippians 2:10 through 11 says, so that at the time, or at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Just understand that at the end of the age, regardless of whether you're making him Lord of your life now or not, he's going to be one day. It's just dependent on what side are you going to be on. Because at that point, it's going to be too late. All right, second point. So first point was, is God Lord of your life? Second point I want you guys to be thinking about is, what do you believe God is capable of doing in your life? Good. I'm so glad that came out good. All right, so I asked this question because for a long time, and I believe, you know, we all believe lies in our hearts and in our minds of what we think God can and can't do in us. And I know that in my life, I've believed the lie that, you know, God can't use me, you know, overseas. God can't use me. Like, I even believed the lie at one point that God couldn't use me up on the stage here. I'm just too afraid to go up there and give my gifts to you guys. But I had to push through that lie and be like, you know what? I don't care how good or bad I think I really am at leading worship or doing those kind of things. I'm just going to give that to God, and he'll do with it whatever he wants. And I'm amazed with what he's been able to do. And there have been some, almost every Sunday, where, you know, I put together a list, and, you know, I'm going through it Sunday morning, looking over it, and I'm like, man, this, I don't know, Lord. I don't know what you want to do with this. And practice, we'll go through practice. And for those of you on the worship team, you know that sometimes you guys have, we get some bad practices. And we come away from those going, okay, Lord, if you don't show up, man, it's going to be bad. Never once has he failed to come to show up when I've called on him. And I always love that almost that fear. I'm not saying I love the fear, but the fear of, like, all right, Lord, I need you. I know I can't do this alone. You know, that song, Lord, I Need You, is so close to my heart. I love singing it here because it's kind of true on those kind of worship mornings. You know, I'm, you know, you guys are singing, Lord, I need you. I'm like, Lord, I need you. Give me a voice, Lord. So, you know, what do you believe God is capable of doing in your life? We got to understand the power, the unfathomable power of God, and the fact that he can do whatever he wants through you. Sure, God's given us all gifts. And honestly, you know, you may be thinking to yourself, yeah, well, I can't do this certain thing. Well, God knows the gifts that he's given you. And that doesn't mean you don't put them on the table, though. God, it doesn't mean that, okay, well, you know, honestly, let's see, I'm not a good soccer player. Not really. So, you know, can I be used in soccer to glorify God? Yes. Do I tend to not want to put that on the table? Yeah, because I'm not good at it. We have a tendency of wanting to only put the nice shiny things on the table. Our super gifts, you know, what we're exceptionally good at. You know, another thing I'm not very good at is I am not very flexible. Meaning, if someone changes my schedule last minute or something happens that throws my day off, I'm just ruined. I'm just like, ah, dang it, it's not what I had planned. And, you know, God's, in his infinite, you know, humor, he's always putting me in those situations where things just change last second. And it's like, are you willing to trust me in these and just kind of go with the flow? I'm learning. Little bit at a time. But I'm learning to put that on the table, to be able to say, all right, Lord, this is on the table. This is something that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to change my schedule whenever you want. You're allowed to change my plan whenever you want. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I go, hey, you know what? God's going to change my plan anyway. So, hey, Lord, what's the plan for the day? let's talk now so I can get on your plan first. And, you know, sometimes he gives me something, and then sometimes he just, I imagine he just smiles and he goes, oh, you'll see. It's like, so, you know, but we got to put those things on the table. We got to be willing to put even the smallest things in front of Jesus at his feet on the throne and say, Lord, I'm bad at this, but if you need me to do it, I'll do it. I'm awful at this, but if you need me to do it, I'll do it. I mean, maybe even in spiritual gifts here on Sunday mornings, you know. I mean, we've been encouraging you guys, you know, opening up your ears and listening for what the Lord has to say to you guys. Some of you guys may be thinking to yourselves, man, no way. You mean I have to go up and share in front of everybody? That's what I was thinking when I had to come and do the sermon. You know, no way. I got to go up in front of everybody and share with them. Usually I could just close my eyes and just sing and pretend you guys aren't there. This time I actually have to make eye contact. Whoa. But maybe if you open up your heart to those and just say, you know what, I've never even done this before. But Lord, if you want me to do it, I'm putting this on the table. Then the next step is stubborn obedience. Because like I said about prayer, you know, when you pray for something, he'll answer you. And it's usually taking you out of your comfort zone, like that picture. Here's some verses to go along with this, okay? First, Corinthians 1, 26 through 31 says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Jesus Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. When I read that verse, who here, like, in your heart was like, oh, yeah, that's me. I'm that weak guy. I'm the foolish guy. I am. God likes to use people like that because it gives him all the glory. It's not about you. It's about him. By putting those small things on the table that you think are insignificant, you give a chance for God to get all the glory. Instead of putting the shiny things on the table where, you know, you're like, oh, well, I am really good at that. And, you know, all of a sudden God doesn't get as much of the glory. Not to say that God doesn't get the glory when you do the things that you're gifted in as well. But there is something really special about putting everything on the table, and when God uses those small things in the back burner and says, hey, I'm going to do something really cool with this today if you're willing to go along with me. And if you are, all of a sudden, at the end of the day, you're looking back and you're like, whoa. Wow, God. That could only have been you. And when people start coming up to you and being like, man, what happened? You can honestly and clearly tell them, God moved. Yeah. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, he's able to do abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. So, like, sometimes, and this summer, you know, I've even realized this, you know, sometimes us counselors have a tendency to pray small. Just save one, Lord. Just save one. You know, just save this one kid here. Why? Let's pray big. Save them all, Lord. Because, you know, God may be up there in heaven, you know, like sitting there like, oh, he only asked me to save one. Oh, man, I was really wanted to save them all. Can I change your plan? I think I will. We're going to save them all. But let's pray big. Let's pray God-sized prayers. Amen. And expect God-sized things to happen in your life. All right, point three. This one's going to sound a little funny, but it was like a mental picture that popped in my head when I was, yeah, I know. This could be bad. But don't play taboo with God. You guys, who here has ever played taboo before? You guys understand the general concept of the game. You got a card, and on the card, there's a word that you're trying to get your team to say. Let's say this is team A and this is team B. And, you know, I'm on team A, and I get this card that says, like, piggy bank. Well, obviously, I'm not allowed to say piggy or bank, but there's also a number of other different words that I'm not allowed to say in order for you guys to guess what I'm trying to say. So one of them might be farm, coin, money, you know, all these other different words. And in my mind, I got this mental picture of us playing taboo with God. But it's God with the card. And he's got this thing on the very top of the card that he wants us to do. He wants to tell us to do. He's all like, hey, I want you to pray for that person at Walmart. I'm thinking of your story. And, you know, but we've got our taboo card, and we say, you can't say pray. You can't say Walmart. You can't say gifts or hands. You can't say touch hands. Or you just can't say do it, you know. And God's up there in heaven like, oh, dang it. Can't use that, can't use that, can't use that, can't use that, can't use that. Because God's a perfect gentleman, too. I understand that. He can do whatever he wants, but he also loves us, and he wants to work with us. He doesn't want to just force us to do something. You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes he's up in heaven, you know, he's grabbing that taboo card and he's like, oh man, I really wanted them to pray for that person, but I can't think of the word to use in order to get that message across. So I don't want us to be playing taboo with God. I want us to be opening up our hearts and saying, all right, Lord, there is no cards. We're not playing this game. I'm just asking you, Lord, what do you want me to do? And like I said about prayer, expect that answer because it's coming. It's coming. But yeah, and there's a couple of verses I have along with that. And these verses may seem a little, I'll tie them in. But it's Matthew 13, 44 through 46, technically. The first one is, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. There's that idea of that total surrender. That total, like, oh my gosh, I found an amazing treasure here. But in order to get it, I have to get rid of everything. What do I do? Okay, get rid of everything. Or the next couple verses say, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. There's that idea, again, of complete surrender, of saying, okay, I'm giving up everything for that one pearl. Because that one pearl means everything. That to me is just insane. And there's that verse also that talks about, you know, a man came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus is like, well, hey, you know, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And the point he was trying to make is like, can you follow me? Can you live that life? Are you willing to give up everything, even a home, in order to go and do the things that I'm calling you to do? Or even that story of the rich young man. You know, he comes up to Jesus and he goes, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Jesus says, well, what do you think? And he's like, follow the commandments, you know, especially the, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Or I'm mixing a couple scriptures there, I know. And then he's also saying, you know, I've kept all the commandments, you know, from my birth. And Jesus says, that's good, but you lack one thing. Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And unfortunately, and I know one of the versions says, you know, Jesus looked at the young man and loved him. And unfortunately, that young man didn't see that. Because he thought of all of his great possessions, and he said, no, it's not worth it. I'm going to keep those. Sorry, Jesus. Bye. I don't want us to do that. I want us to be able to look at Jesus and understand the immense value and treasure that he is in our lives, and to give everything up, and say, you know what? You're my treasure, Lord. Just like the Levites, you know, the Levites didn't get an inheritance. But they were the richest of them all because God told them, I will be your inheritance. Isn't that exciting? And the more you get to know God, the more excited you'll get about that. Plug in for make sure you're reading the scriptures. Yeah, I had that verse actually up there, didn't I? Sweet. I forgot I did that. Okay, so in wrapping things up, point four is just putting it all on the table. And I want to give you guys some biblical examples. You know, I've got a list of, yeah, it's cluttered. It's not looking very pretty, obviously, as you can see, but we're a mess. None of us are pretty. None of us look really nice. I put on nice clothes and all, but, you know, I was determining whether I wanted to wear this or just shorts and, you know, holy up shirt, you know. I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. Because I'm going to put everything on the table. I'm going to put all that and this on the table. But it's going to be messy. It's not going to look pretty. That's okay. God doesn't care. God wants it all. God wants the messy. God wants the good. God wants everything in between. But that next slide there,
I have these a list of people who put it all on the table. You know, so we've got God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son. I kind of touched on that earlier. And he waited many years for him to be born. But he was like, all right, Lord, you told me to do this. And that's the key. God tells Abraham, okay? How about this one? God tells Moses to walk into the court of one of the most powerful men on earth and demand that he set all the slaves under his control free. What? You want me to do what? Yeah, that's a bad idea. Okay. Send Aaron to do it. I don't want to. I'll go to my room. Yeah. But Moses ended up doing it. I mean, he argued with God. But God, also being a perfect gentleman, his original plan was this, that Moses would go do that. But God was able to change his plan just a little bit by adding Aaron into the mix and saying, okay, let's do that. So some of you guys may be like, oh man, God's calling me to do this, but I don't know if I can. I need help. God's willing to change his plan a little bit. God's willing to give you some help. It's always best to go with his original plan, but you know this, that he's going to work with you, regardless of where you're at, regardless of where you're at with your faith and what he's able to do. So know that. How about this? God tells Joshua to march around Jericho for 7 days without actually fighting the enemy, and then on the seventh day to march 7 times and then make a shout to conquer their enemies. Okay. Getting dizzy! What are we doing? But he did it. And look at what happened. The walls caved down for no reason other than God was like, okay. All right, get in there and do what I told you to do. But he obeyed what God told him to do. How about this? There's going to be a couple on this list that you guys are going to be like, wait, what? And I put the scripture references so you can look them up yourself. God tells one of his warriors, Gideon, to send all but 300 of his men home while the rest stayed and fought the enemy many, many times its size. Yes, 300 men, you know. You ever see that movie 300? I haven't, so don't worry about it. But the basic concept, 300 Greek heroes fight like a million other troops, and they lose, obviously. This, though, 300 men fight, and they win, because God's on their side. But it's like, wait, we had like 27,000 men here, Lord, and you want me to send all but 300 home? Cool. Let's do it. That would not have been my response. How about this? God tells Isaiah to walk around naked for 3 years. You sure God told you that? Yeah, that's the thing. Be sure. Just be sure that it's God speaking to you. Bring in a friend. You know, phone a friend. Say, hey, friend, God's telling me to do something really weird. Can you pray with me on this? I want to make sure I'm hearing this right. How about this? God tells Ezekiel to lie on his side for over a year. Can I turn over? No. Okay, I'm hungry. Make your own food. All right. Okay. I have to use horse manure? Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then God tells Hosea to marry a prostitute. Yeah, that actually happened. But God was making a point to his people at that time. Like I said, though, be careful. You know, don't just go off the spur of the moment on the first thing that you think you hear God say. But understand as well, God tells us to do crazy things. I've heard stories of God telling people to stand on their head at a public park, and they're like, what? And they did it, and some guy runs up to them after an hour and a half and is like, all right, tell me how I can get saved. It's like, cool. Or God told this one person, hey, put on these socks today. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. But he does it. And then some person comes up, hey, check out them socks. Next thing you know, they're talking about Jesus. You know, it's like inviting God into your life every day and being able to put everything on the table and say, okay, Lord, yeah, my socks are on the table. I'll put on whatever socks you want me to put on. Yeah. Oh, you want me to do acrobatics in the park? Yeah, cool. I'll do it. Sometimes it's not that easy to say, yeah, I'll do it. Sometimes you go, no! Make me! And then you argue a bit more, and then you realize you're arguing with the God of the universe. You get an awe. You fall on your face before Jesus and say, okay, I'm sorry. I'll do it. So my final kind of quip to you guys is this. And what is God telling you? I can't tell you what God's telling you to do. I can pray alongside you and ask the Lord, please reveal God's plan to you, okay? But you guys need to be asking. You guys need to be opening up your hearts, putting everything on the table, and then ask the Lord, all right, Lord, everything is on the table that I can think of. What do you want me to do? Be nice. So, and I don't want you to think I'm just talking to people who are saved either. This is very pertinent to those of you who may not know Jesus as well. Because in order to follow Jesus, you have to have everything on the table. And I want you guys, if anyone here is feeling that urge inside your heart, like, oh my goodness, I'm not saved, but I want that. Don't leave this place without making that commitment to the Lord. Don't leave this place without putting it all on the table. Because this is a good place to do that. And there are people here who want to talk and pray with you and all that. So that's all I've got, Kirk, if you